Hello, and welcome to another episode of Morgan's Pop Talks, breaking down the latest in reality TV and pop culture. This is the last podcast that I will ever do working 8 jobs. Next week, I'll work 6 jobs and still be doing the podcast, but it's all going to be under my own business, which is very exciting. I just want to say, first and foremost, thank you to everybody who's reached out and sent their congratulations. It is exciting. It's super scary, but we're here. We're making it work. I'm excited to expand MPT and tell you soon about all of the fun things that are coming along. Let me tell you, I have to just tell you. It's bittersweet leaving my job. Like I said, I've been there for 9 years. I've been on the morning show for 6 years. So it is hard, but my God, am I looking forward to sleeping past 4:30 in the morning. You guys, I can watch shows live. I can watch The Bachelor at 8 p.m. and live tweet it with you. I can watch Vanderpump Rules and live Instagram story. I can't wait. I truly can't wait. It's going to be a new era. I'm not going to be sleep deprived all the time. I'm not going to feel like a zombie. And it's going to be great. So there's update number 1, top of the show rant, by the way. This is it. My face. Somebody asked for a face update. Scar is healing. It's getting better and better every day. Could not be more thankful that, you know, it's healing up very nicely. My stitches, got 3 stitches. They fell out. Been putting that Vaseline on it. And we're looking good. House update, we're getting there. You know, next week will be the true test to my marriage. Actually, wedding planning is the test to my marriage. I'll get to that in a second. But David and I, starting next week, we're both working from home. Dun, dun, dun. You know, like, I love being with my husband. I annoy him so much. I interrupt him like every hour, and that's when I'm home. So he now is going to have to deal with that for 4 additional hours in the morning, and I don't know how he's going to feel about it. We're going to make it through. Like I said, it's really going to test my marriage, but what is also testing it is my wedding. Yes, I'm already married, but I'm having a larger wedding in June because, as you know, or in case you don't know, my husband, David, is from South Africa. So we had to do the 90-day fiancé, get married very quickly. So we just did it on the beach in Florida. But like, I have a nice dress that I want to wear and bridesmaids, and I picked out pretty dresses for them. And I have a lovely reception venue. So like, we're doing it up. We're doing the thing. But I hate wedding planning. I actually hate it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't even know. Like, right now we're dealing with the tuxedos. And listen, I understand, and this might be stereotypical, but I understand that I'm going to be planning 99% of this wedding and that David is just going to be A-okay. Easy breezy, beautiful David showing up to the wedding without a care in the world, not having helped at all. I'm actually cool with it because I understand he's got other things to worry about. Like, I just get it. You know, my mom's helping me a lot, but like the tuxes, I don't know. I don't even know where to go. I don't even know who to make an appointment with. All of his groomsmen, which we still don't know which ones are coming to the wedding, by the way, all of his groomsmen are in Thailand and Cape Town and Miami. And I'm like, how are they supposed to get the same tux? I don't know. I don't know. So there's my spiral of the week. That, and I need your guys' help. I swear I'm almost done. 5 minutes, top of the show rant. My gosh. I need your help. I need you to promise you're not going to cancel me. This is my safe space, okay? You guys are my sisters. You are that girl to me. So I'm going to tell you something. I need you to be open and receptive to what I'm about to say, but I'm also polling the audience. So when you listen to this, I need you to really take it in and then send me a DM what you think. Tom Sandoval and the Most Extras are coming to my town, and I kind of want to go. And you know, I'm starting this new business venture, my own business, and I cannot be canceled within the first week. So I'm like, man, I know the ramifications of going to a Tom Sandoval and the Most Extras concert. I know people will be upset about it, but I look at it as market research. You know, it's part of my job to go out and experience it, to see what all the fuss is about. So I want to go. That coupled with the fact that I'm not going to have to get up at 4:30 the next day, it's on a Wednesday night, I want to go. I want to see what it's about. I want to experience it in the flesh and then report back to you. I don't think it's that big of a deal. But like I said, as a small business owner, I cannot be canceled within the first week. So let me know what you think. Would you be mad at me for it? Would you want to hear the tea about it? For the people, by the people. That's what we do here. Okay, let's get into the pop three. These are the biggest headlines of the week. And I'm just going to tell you, the pop three is going to be rough. It's going to be rough. We're going to get through it together. I'm giving all the trigger warnings because we're talking about it all. We're talking about the Diddy allegations. We're talking about the stuff that's going on with Christine Quinn and her husband. We're talking about Kate Middleton. So we're doing all the trigger warnings. We're going to get all the bad stuff out of the way first and then have some fun at the end of the show. Okay. Well, we're going to start with the Diddy allegations. Now, this does need a deep dive in maybe next week when I'm full-time MPT, but honestly, I could not get down the rabbit hole of every single lawsuit, but I do have an overview for you, so don't worry. We all know, we all saw the videos, federal agents raided Diddy's homes in Los Angeles and Miami earlier this week. It was reportedly in connection with a federal sex trafficking investigation. Several people were detained during the raid as well. I believe they were Diddy's sons, but as of right now, nobody has been booked. So Homeland Security Investigations New York is involved in the operation, and they said they will provide further information as it becomes available. So as of right now, Diddy has apparently not been named as the focus of the investigation by the Department of Homeland Security. Homeland Security expert Hal Kemper shared that the FBI is likely looking for laptops, flash drives, and more that could connect Diddy to this investigation. We saw some, I don't know if you saw it, I saw some video of Diddy's house. And I mean, it does look like a tornado went through that house. It's like wires were ripped out of the wall. Everything was turned over. Like literally a scene out of a movie when you take a dresser drawer out and you just dump it on the floor, like in a mansion. That's what it was like. And Diddy's lawyer responded to that, mostly complaining about the grandeur of the raid, right? So Diddy's attorney, his name is Aaron Dyer, said in a statement, there was a gross overuse of military level force as search warrants were executed at Mr. Combs' residences. There is no excuse for the excessive show of force and hostility exhibited by authorities or the way his children and employees were treated. Mr. Combs was never detained, but spoke to and cooperated with authorities. Despite media speculation, neither Mr. Combs nor any of his family members have been arrested, nor has their ability to travel been restricted in any way. He called it an unprecedented ambush that was paired with an advanced coordinated media presence, which resulted in a premature rush to judgment of Mr. Combs and is nothing more than a witch hunt based on meritless accusations made in civil lawsuits. He also said there has been no finding of criminal or civil liability with any of these allegations. Mr. Combs is innocent and will continue to fight every day to clear his name. Okay. Deep, like exhale. I have to say, I'm getting pretty good at reading the lawyer statements. I used to not be so good at that. I'm getting pretty good at it. I feel like there has always been some question marks around Diddy, but more recently there have been multiple sexual assault allegations against him. It kind of kicked off when his ex-girlfriend Cassie, again, trigger warning, accused him of rape, assault, and repeated physical abuse, allegedly, per a November 2023 lawsuit. So she said, after years in silence and darkness, I'm finally ready to tell my story and to speak up on behalf of myself and for the benefit of other women who face violence and abuse in their relationships. Diddy's lawyer refuted that at the time, saying it was offensive and outrageous allegations. Cassie did drop the suit one day later. They did settle, but there are a lot more lawsuits where that came from. And I feel like this is only the beginning. I mean, I don't know too much about every single lawsuit, but they're all, you know, they're all in the sexual assault realm. Also, you know, who was it? Aubrey. Aubrey O'Day has been pretty vocal about her disdain for Diddy. Of course, if you don't remember, she's in the iconic Danity Kane making the band. I miss Danity Kane. I know that's a sidebar, but truly. But, you know, she's kind of always said cryptic things about Diddy, never really got into too much of it, but they definitely have a strained relationship. She never spoke very highly of him. And then now there are all these lawsuits that are coming out. So, like I said, this is going to be very long. It's going to unfold piece by piece. There's many layers of the onion. But now that I'm going full time, maybe I'll be able to do a proper deep dive on that.
There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. It's something that I have struggled with in the past, which is why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best with no complicated routines, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. Right now, I'm using the OS1 Eye Topical Supplement to help strengthen and firm the skin around my eyes. So far, I've noticed it has improved hydration and improved firmness. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code POPTALKS at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code POPTALKS. After your purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support the show and tell them I sent you because I love you like a sis.
Let's get to Kate Middleton. So Kate Middleton revealed last week her cancer diagnosis. Very sad, a huge shock. I mean, she said it was a huge shock. It was a huge shock to the public as well. And it's been really overshadowed by this relentless, you know, media speculation. There has been a lot of social media opinions as to how the situation was handled, both by the palace and by the public. You know, I did tell you last week that I think the speculation of it all started to become too much. You know, I can't remember specifically what I said, but my feeling was that, you know, I was saying history repeats itself. It's starting to give the same feeling as how Diana was treated in the past. So it's like, you want to really be careful. You know, I feel like we're towing the line. It is such a blurry line though, because the royals in particular are in between celebrity and public figure. So I've seen a lot of people say, you know, they're pretty much like elected officials. If Joe Biden disappeared for 2 months, the American public would want to know where he is. And they, you know, draw a comparison between that and Kate Middleton. Like I said, you know, she's not the prime minister, so she's not like really elected. She's married into the royal family. So it is more of a celebrity type situation where, you know, people speculate all the time, but celebrities can, if they want, maintain a certain level of privacy. It's the theories that got too much, you know, and it's like, I don't know why I feel like I have to defend myself. I mean, if you listen to the podcast, you know how I handled it, but I was never one being like, oh, she got a BBL or she, you know, something with her exes or whatever. But I just feel like it got to be too much. People took it too far with these conspiracy theories and all of the different theories. I think what isn't the public's fault though is responding to things that were put out by the palace. You know, the photo is what made this a nightmare, right? Like, I feel like, sure, people would have been asking questions about Kate if she still wasn't seen, but Easter was the deadline. So it's like, it couldn't have got too bad until after Easter. But then they put out the Photoshop picture and everybody just started to spiral. And it's like, you put that out and how do you expect people not to respond to that? Like, people are going to respond to that. Then the farm shop. It's like people are going to respond to things that are put out. So it's just, yeah, it's just a hard place to be in, you know? So I feel like we, the public, did feel that something was off, and we were right about something being off. I just don't think it's okay to make up all these different scenarios about her. What I did see is that the palace is hiring a communications assistant. And they need to. So I read this report. It says the private secretary's office of Buckingham Palace posted the listing with duties that include responding to day-to-day media inquiries on a range of subjects, including about the work of members of the royal family and facilitating and overseeing media access to royal engagements at royal residences and other locations. They said the new hire will have to produce content for a variety of platforms, including media advisories, social media updates, and feature articles. It's an entry-level position just at over $32,000. So if you want to apply, maybe I should apply. If this whole business venture doesn't go well, maybe that'll be my next career move. But here's what I also find interesting. What did I say? I said this story is pretty easy to squash. Set her down in front of a camera. Say, look, guys, I'm still recovering. Everything is okay, but I need some privacy. She did essentially that, you know, but she did reveal her diagnosis in the video. And people are saying, oh, everybody bullied her into revealing this. But I also think if they didn't want to reveal the diagnosis, they could have done the same video and left the detail out. You know, do you get what I'm saying? Like if they really weren't ready for it, she could have sat on the bench in her beautiful sweater with her hair looking flawless, saying, hi, I've seen all of the concern, word for word what she said, and then said, I'm still recovering from my surgery. I will see you after Easter, you know? So I don't think it's necessarily right to say that the public bullied her into revealing this, because at the end of the day, I don't feel like she really had to reveal all the details. But the speculation certainly could have been too much. I just think it's really sad, you know, to have both Princess Catherine and King Charles going through cancer at the same time. It has to be really difficult for the family. So I feel like, you know, she asked for privacy. We're closing the chapter of that, right? We're going to give her some privacy until she's ready to maybe be back in the public more, or until at least more information comes out about her condition or well-being, I should say. Last but certainly not least, there is some drama in the Selling Sunset world when it comes to these marriages. So first, Chelsea Lascani filed for a divorce from her husband, Jeff. She's been on the show for a couple of seasons. She filed for divorce, citing irreconcilable differences. The exact date of separation says TBD. So I guess that means TBD. They do have two young children together, 3 and 5. She wants joint physical and legal custody, and she's asking for spousal support, but she is not asking the court to terminate Jeff's ability to ask for alimony. And then there's no explicit mention of a prenup in the documents. I'm sure we'll get more of that story on the next season of Selling Sunset. He was kind of a background character, but we did see him pop up occasionally. I feel like it was her 30th birthday, maybe the big extravaganza, 30th birthday, he was there. So that's interesting. But a marriage with a little bit more detail surrounding what's going on with them is Christine Quinn and Christian Richard. So to give you a recap, and I know I talked about this on the Patreon last week, but Christian was arrested twice in 1 week, but the first time was for domestic violence, for allegedly getting into a fight with Christine. The reports say that he threw a bag of glass. Nobody really knows what that means. Does that mean there was just a bag of glass? Was there like a wine bottle? There's no clarification. Threw it at Christine, struck the child. That was the first report on TMZ. The second report is he got out on bail, went back to the house, got arrested again because he violated an emergency restraining order that was set in place for 7 days. So he is denying those allegations. He doesn't deny getting into an argument with Christine, but it was about their dogs making a mess in the house. And he says he threw a bag against the wall. Okay. So, difference in stories, right? He says he never threw anything at Christine or their son. Now he's saying that Christine filed a false police report and is trying to embarrass him. He filed a temporary restraining order. It was denied. But the order or the request asked that she stay away from the house, and he wanted all of their conversations to be recorded. It was denied right now because there wasn't enough evidence. The court document says the facts given in the request do not show reasonable proof of a past act or acts of abuse. However, they do have a court hearing on April 17th where they will revisit everything. Today's sponsor is Factor Meals. Finally, starting to get warmer, you want to spend your time outside and not in the kitchen. With Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Visit factormeals.com/poptalks50 and use code poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you will always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. You can treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Head to factormeals.com/poptalks50 and use code poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code poptalks50 at factormeals.com/poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Okay, I told you the pop three this week was going to be rough, but we got through it, and now we're on to some lighter subjects. The deep dive every single week on my Instagram at Morgan P Talks. Follow me if you don't. I open up the deep dive submissions. What do you want to talk more about this week? It's from Megan.
Hey, Morgan. This is Megan from Des Moines, Iowa. My deep dive submission is for the Bachelor finale. I need all your thoughts on Joey, Daisy and Kelsey, and Jen. Are you surprised they chose her as the Bachelorette? Love you like a sis.
Megan, love you like a sis. Y'all, this Bachelor finale did not disappoint. And that's saying something because lately the Bachelor finales have been disappointing. Like, I can't even remember the last time we had a really good finale. I feel like the Bachelor franchise peaked at Hannah Brown and Pilot Pete, and then it just nosedived. And we haven't been able to get back to that ever since, but we got back to it. It was so good. It was so good. I feel like there has been a shift in the Bachelor franchise since Mike Fleiss and a lot of other people behind the scenes left, and there's been new producers and new direction. And I feel like you really felt that in this season finale. So we're just going to recap the episode, and then I'll get into my thoughts on Joey as the Bachelor, Jen being the Bachelorette pick, and everything in between. So Kelsey and Daisy, they both meet Joey's parents. Daisy goes first. And in that moment, it was giving Hannah Ann, right? Like just really emotionally pouring it all out on the table. The family really liked her. You know, she was getting very emotional. And I was like, oh. Because even at that particular moment, I felt like the vibe was leaning towards Kelsey. I feel like I said that on the Patreon last week that in these last couple of weeks, the vibe has shifted more towards Kelsey being the front runner, and Joey being very particular and careful with his words when it comes to talking to everybody else. Now, we couldn't tell that it was 100% Kelsey, but the vibe with Daisy has just been off. And I was like, oh no, the family is going to love Daisy. You know, something is going to go wrong with Kelsey and the family is going to want Daisy. But it actually didn't go like that. The family loved Kelsey just as much as they loved Daisy. The one difference between meeting the family is the way that Daisy and Kelsey answered the "Are you ready to be married?" question. Daisy was like 100% all in. Kelsey was like, I think so. And it's hard because it's like, at face value, that's a good answer, right? Where she's like, I don't feel the need to just check marriage off of a box because I'm on this show. But when you compare it to an answer like Daisy's, where she's like, yes, if you propose tomorrow, I would be, you know, I would say yes and whatever. It just, the comparison of it is what makes it a little odd. But Kelsey does say, you know, it's Joey. Joey is the reason why I'm ready for marriage and I'm all in. So it's still kind of like neck and neck at that moment. But the final dates just sealed the deal. Daisy had this like cleansing ceremony. And again, the vibes were just off. The way that Joey was speaking to Daisy, everything was in past tense. You know, it's like, even if it's not us, I'm grateful for the experience. And I just want you to be happy, even if it's not with me. So like red flags flying all over the field. And it's like that moment where we're like, oh, he's not picking Daisy. But she had a little sliver of hope. Because I feel like if you are in that situation, you can probably get into your head a lot. So you do have to have a little sliver of hope. Well, maybe I'm just being paranoid and maybe I'm just spiraling. I'm going to keep the hope alive that he might pick me. But Daisy tells Joey later that she is in love with him, that she loves him, and he's just not giving her anything back. And I was getting Leslie and Gary flashbacks, you know, when they're in the little room, there's candles lit all around and she's like spilling her guts and he's just like, thank you. You know, we're like, oh no, oh no. I actually thought it was going to end right then and there, like same way that Leslie and Gary ended. But it didn't. And then we get Kelsey and her date the next day, spa date. They're just all over each other, smiling, giggling. And it was just over in that moment, right? Like he gives Kelsey a lot more validation with his words. You can just tell he's giddy around her. And he doesn't just come out and say it. But in his actions, he does say it. And I have to say, like, props to Joey. And I feel like this is why a lot of people are coining him the best bachelor ever. I'll get to my thoughts on that later. But we've been at this moment so many times before, and so many leads fumble the moment. And it has to be easy because you get swept up in all of these big emotions and, you know, you're days away from a proposal and you're like, well, I could see different scenarios with different women and how am I supposed to not tell them that I love them? Like I do love them and I want to fully invest in this process, but we've seen the damage that it can do at the end of things. So props to Joey for just having a lot of restraints. It has to be really hard. The first plot twist was Daisy going to Kelsey's room. So Daisy puts on her red dress. She's still not feeling all that great about the way that things ended the couple days prior. And she's walking up to Kelsey's room. We all thought she was going to Joey's room to like end things early, but she knocks on the door and it's Kelsey. Everyone's shocked, right? We're like, what is going on here? They rush into the room, dressed to the nines. Literally, Kelsey looks like it's her wedding day and that beautiful white dress. And I saw the note. I don't know if Kelsey was writing a note to Joey or if she was writing notes to herself, but she very quickly like shuffled it away so that Daisy wouldn't see it. And Daisy's just asking. She's like gauging, she's checking the pulse, like gauging the audience, pulling the room. Like she's like, so did he give you any validation? Because he didn't give me any validation. And I feel like I'm going to get my heart broken on national television. And Kelsey kind of seals the deal for her there, starts to put the pieces of the puzzle together, and then they get in the SUV together. I mean, wow. Wow, it was a moment. It was a moment. We're like, not in the SUV together. I mean, immediately we knew what that meant. It's like, okay, they're riding together. Certainly if Daisy gets out of the car first, everybody's going to know that it's not Daisy. I feel like they already do know that it's not Daisy. But we have to give it to the producers. I will say, though, this is the moment where it started to feel a little overproduced. I'm not mad about it because it made for great TV, but you have to think of the logistics of it all. They're walking down their resort hallway dressed in their best engagement dress, and they see each other, and they get into the same car. You know that they're thinking the same thing. Okay, whoever gets out of this car first is not going to be with Joey. Then it ends up being Daisy. And Daisy has to walk back up the same way that she just walked down, which we see later that she, you know, Joey's like, can I walk you back up? And she says, I think I need to do this by myself, which is like, yes, great women empowerment moment. Like, you go, Daisy, be a strong, independent woman. But also, like, a producer probably told her, hey, you probably shouldn't walk back up here with Joey, because then Joey is going to see Kelsey get out of the SUV and it's just going to be a little awkward. Especially because Daisy walked back up, Kelsey was standing outside, and they gave each other a hug. So I just feel like there had to have been a lot of direction going on behind the scenes to pull that off. Like I said, I'm not mad about it because it made for a great finale. My favorite part was when Daisy went back up and hugged Kelsey and just said, your mom is going to be so proud of you. She's going to be looking down with you. I mean, big tears. I cried the whole entire time, the whole night. I was crying, and I'm not really that much of a crier, so I think that says something. But Kelsey goes down, Joey proposes, she says yes. So all of that anxiety, all of those fears about him not ending up with anybody, I don't want to say it was for nothing, but it kind of was for nothing. After the final rose, Daisy comes out, her and Joey are good. Everybody is good with Joey. Like, there's not one single woman on that show that has any beef with him whatsoever, which is why people are like, Joey is the greatest bachelor of all time. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but anyways. So Kelsey and Joey, they give us a little update. Joey's going to move to New Orleans for a couple months, and then they're going to move to New York. They want a long engagement. I saw some backlash of that online, people being like, why do they want a long engagement? I don't hate that, because they do need time to like get to know each other a little bit better. I mean, they don't even have each other's phone numbers until after they're engaged. I do really, really like them together. I hope that they last. I feel like they're a good fit. I will say that Joey's insecurities just worry me a little bit. You know, but we're going to send our T's and P's. Best of luck to Joey and Chelsea. So now on to The Bachelorette. The last 10 minutes of this episode were bizarro, truly cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but also definitely very strategic. I mean, the franchise isn't stupid. They knew everybody wanted Daisy and or Maria. And if they didn't present Daisy and or Maria, or if they didn't give either of those women the chance to address it, it would have gone up in flames, and it already has gone up in flames. So imagine that Daisy didn't come out and say, you know, I decided not to do this. It would have been just a train wreck. So I respect that. She's not ready. Maybe she still has some lingering feelings for Joey, but they announced that the next bachelorette is Jen. And then they cut to Maria, and Maria gives her a stamp of approval, which is just another nod, I think, to the audience. Like, hey guys, we know you wanted her. We wanted her. We couldn't work it out. So Maria is giving the audience little subliminal messages, and it's all good. Like, we still need to be nice to Jen. I just feel bad for Jen, because it really doesn't have anything to do with people not wanting her as much as it has to do with people really wanting Daisy and Maria, you know? So she already was put in an impossible situation. I feel like even the edit, we just don't really know Jen all that well. I think she's cute as a button. I mean, she's gorgeous. And she seems very sweet. You know, she made history as the first Asian American bachelorette. So I'm holding out hope for a good season with her. But like I said, everybody was just expecting it to be Daisy or Maria. So she's like getting all this heat, and it's not even her fault. It's not even her fault. But it's definitely interesting that two women turned down the role of being bachelorette, Daisy and now allegedly Maria. Maria was definitely reading the comment section. She was in deep in the Bachelor Nation comment section. She saw everyone saying, oh, Maria could be the next Tyler Cameron. She doesn't need to be the bachelorette. She's already this huge hit. She could become one of the most popular Bachelor Nation members and be a one-hit wonder, a one-season wonder, and not have to go through the psychological warfare that is being the bachelorette, you know, opening yourself up to even more public scrutiny, public opinions. And, you know, normally I would say you have to do the bachelorette. You have to do the bachelorette. But honestly, this time I think the comparison is true. I actually don't think that she needs to do the bachelorette. She's got power. She's got the star power. She has the Tyler Cameron star power. So I'm very interested to see what she will do next. Some people are saying that she's going to go to Bachelor in Paradise. Doesn't need it. Doesn't need it. You know, everyone's talking about how, I think it was Nick Viall. I try not to pay too much attention, but something about money. And it's like, man, you think of how much money that they pay for the, it's like at least over $100,000, right? It has to be. It's like, if you say no to $100,000 for what, 2 months of work? And like, I mean, her star power would only grow, I would say. I don't know. We'll just have to see, you know? We'll just have to see where the road leads. I would love to see her on Bachelor in Paradise. I think she'd be the perfect fit. I think Daisy too. Maybe we will. I don't even know if Bachelor in Paradise is coming back. That's a deep dive for another day. So was Joey the greatest bachelor of all time? He's up there. I would say he's top three, top five. Three might be a stretch. Top five, yeah. I mean, I just think Sean Lowe was like the greatest bachelor of all time. And it was just a different era. You know, Sean and Catherine, they're like the gulliest of all bachelor goals. And it was just so much more pure back then, you know, like there wasn't such thing as social media influencers. So I feel like that was the best love story that we saw start to finish. I mean, even going into it, I feel like she wore that. Didn't she wear like this beautiful gold dress? She just knew that she was going to be the princess. But yeah, I mean, Joey was able to make it through the entire season without making anybody mad. He was very sensitive. He was very in touch with his feelings. I told David, he yelled at me. I was like, yeah, but he was kind of a snooze fest. And David was like, well, would you rather have a jerk? And I was like, okay, fine. You're right. You're right. I would rather have a respectable snooze than a jerk. I would. I shouldn't say a snooze because, like I said, the finale was phenomenal. I did just worry about his readiness, and apparently he's not all that ready. I mean, if he wants to be engaged for 2 to 3 years. Anyways, okay. I will be done. I'm not roasting him, but it was a good ending to a good season. I think we can all be happy, and I think we can all give Jen a chance, okay? We're going to give her a chance. Okay, for final thoughts this week, we're going to talk Vanderpump Rules updates. This week's episode was pretty explosive, but not only that, Ariana Madix bought a house earlier this week, so we can finally drop the whole move out of the house situation. So she bought a $1.6 million home in Hollywood Hills. It's gorgeous, lots of big windows, which is like the dream. I heard she lives right around the bend. And then I started singing Just Around the Riverbend in my head from Pocahontas. So that's how my brain works. She lives around the corner. That's what I think I meant to say from Stassi. So that's interesting. Yeah, good for her. Reality TV crossover. If you're watching Buying Beverly Hills, Ben Bellack sold Ariana this house. So there's a little cool little tidbit of information for you. But we got some major bombs in this week's episode of Vanderpump Rules, Sheena and Schwartz. So we all thought that when we saw this in the trailer that it was going to be a fake out, that it was like maybe the Sheena lookalike they made out in Vegas. It sounded kind of botched, but no. Sheena and Schwartz shared a kiss 12 years ago in Las Vegas. Lala is the first to learn of the information, and she immediately goes to Katie and she says, you know, a few years ago they kissed. 12 years is not a few years ago, first and foremost. Second of all, I thought Lala and Sheena were thick as thieves these days. So it was just surprising to me that she so quickly threw her under the bus, which makes me think something about Lala that I will get to in a second when I talk about Sandoval and Lala. But, you know, Katie asks Sheena about it and she's like, I think Shay and I just got to, like, stop. No, you know, if you and Shay had just gotten engaged and you kissed Tom Schwartz in Las Vegas. So Katie said on the after show that if she would have known then that Sheena kissed Schwartz or vice versa, whatever, that she would have broke up with Schwartz. And I'm like, Would you? It's like very easy to say that now, but would you really? So I want to say like, no, you wouldn't. But early days, Katie hated Sheena, hated her. So I feel like she actually probably would have. And just imagine the trajectory that that would have sent Vanderpump Rules on. Like if that would have came out, wow. Katie and Schwartz wouldn't have got married. Maybe Sheena and Shay wouldn't have gotten married. They wouldn't have got divorced. There would have been no crop top wedding dress. There would have been no, I mean, it's just, there's so many things. I saw something online though, where someone was like, season one, Stassi was like, don't trust Sheena around your mans. And it seems that that was true. They have two different stories, Sheena and Tom Schwartz. Sheena says, you know, Tom came on to her. In the after show, she made it very clear, not in an aggressive way or anything like that. And Schwartz was like, yeah, we kind of like made out or whatever. Typically, when I hear two sides of the story, I think to myself, who is the person in the scenario that has the most to hide? Right? Like, who would be more inclined to tell the truth? And in my opinion, Sheena is the one that has more to hide in the situation. Because for some reason, people would be more mad at Sheena. For some reason, right? I mean, it's pretty standard for Tom Schwartz to cheat on Katie. So maybe people are used to it. But it's like not fair that people would be more mad at Sheena, but I feel like they would. So she definitely is the one who has more to hide, which to me seems like a bit of a red flag. But you know, if anything, I think it just validates Katie's decision to leave Schwartz and she's on to bigger and better Max Boyens. The second major curveball of the episode was that Sheena tracked Max's location, which is weird, by the way. We can all admit that it's weird, and saw that he was at Katie's house at 4 o'clock in the morning and then early into the next day. And it's this huge blow up that Katie hooked up with Schwartz's good friend. This is not a Katie Maloney problem to me. I'm sorry. I see people online like, oh, she's Tom Sandoval. Oh, Katie is so hypocritical for hooking up with Max. They're divorced. Schwartz totally disregarded Katie's feelings last year about hooking up in the front. Why would Katie even think twice about Tom Schwartz in this situation? Schwartz has proven over and over and over and over again that he doesn't think about her in any decision. So why does Katie all of a sudden have to have this loyalty to Tom Schwartz? I think it would be different even if Tom hadn't kissed Rachel last year, because then the parameters of no hookup in the friend group could still, you know, be viable. But he didn't care about Katie last year. So why should Katie care about him a year later? To me, it sounds like a Max problem. That's a your friend problem. That's not a your ex problem. And that's my opinion on that. The last thing I want to talk about in the episode is this conversation. Oh, and can we also just say major L for Brock Davies to bring this up? Anywho, Lala and Tom Sandoval have this emotional discussion about forgiveness and moving forward and being civil and all of these things. I really struggle because I like Lala and I think she brings a lot to the show. I think she's a good reality TV personality, but I also think that a lot of the things that she does is performative. And I think this conversation with Sandoval was very performative because for years, Lala hated Tom Sandoval. And now all of a sudden she doesn't. Like just one day you click your heels three times and okay, like it's fine. She called him a groomer 3 episodes ago. And now all of a sudden she wants to find peace and forgiveness. And it's not even that, because I do understand that people can, their feelings and emotions can evolve. But you don't go from disliking someone for years, because let's be honest, it has been years, to in an instant being like, okay, why would Lala do that? because the show depends on them moving forward. I get it. I totally get it from Ariana's perspective. I feel like they are shoving him down her throat. And she's like, can you cool it? It's been 3 months since he embarrassed me on national television and cheated with one of my good friends in my house while I was away for a funeral. And they're like, but you gotta. And I'm like, shut up. Truly. Shut up. So I feel like maybe Lala, maybe even Sheena, are feeling the pressure of the fact that Ariana doesn't want anything to do with Sandoval. And they're like, how can we reconcile it? How can we make sure that the show progresses and moves forward? Lala, oh, okay, I'll go forgive Tom Sandoval. I mean, even last year before Sandoval happened, I want to remind you that Lala was on Watch What Happens Live, and she was talking about Katie and Schwartz's divorce. And then Andy said something about Ariana and Tom Sandoval. And she literally said, I can't wait to get Ariana away from that man. And now all of a sudden, like, you're trying to force Ariana to let it go 3 months later. 3 months prior, you were screaming your head off at Tom Sandoval at the reunion. I just don't get it. I really don't get it. I feel like, honestly, Lala's flip-flopping more than Sheena. And Sheena's being accused of that a lot online. And people say, oh, Katie and Ariana, they have such bad attitudes. They're just such mean girls. I would probably have an attitude as well if my partner of a decade, who I shared a house with, owned multiple businesses with, cheated on me with one of my friends, and then some of my closest friends were trying to force feed him back into my life because they care about the success of a show. You know, I would probably have a bit of an attitude as well. Just saying. Just saying. Now, I also don't think that Tom should be burned at the stake forever. Like, say you're sorry and genuinely mean it. Show some remorse. Understand how you hurt people and how you can change your actions and make things better. How can you change your actions, be sincere about it, and make things better? Not just say what people want to hear, but he doesn't even say what people want to hear. He like just doesn't do that. So I don't know. I also think it's totally okay for Tom Sandoval and Ariana to like not speak to each other. I find it's way more interesting when they do have conversations together. But like, Tom has to understand that Ariana might not forgive him. And that is what it is. She's probably not going to forgive him. I'm excited to see more of Daniel. Daniel's going to be coming onto the show soon enough. I'm wondering what's going on with the Schwartz, Katie, and what's the girl's name? Tori. Like, she hasn't shown up yet. When is she showing up? But, you know, it is getting better. Katie Maloney said the season was going to be a slow burn, and it is. We're burning. We're burning right up. Okay, you guys, thanks again for joining for this week's episode of MPT. If you haven't left your review, please do so. A little 5 stars, a little boop boop, a little love you like a sis. Have some major announcements about the Patreon, hopefully coming next week. I'm going full time, so I'm going to get my ducks in a row. And then I will share those ducks with you, and we can all enjoy the ducks that are very nicely organized. If not, I'll see you next week for another episode of MPT. And as always, love you like a sis.
A Huda Media Production.